Those of you who've been hanging around for the last little while know that we're working through this great Sermon on the Mount. Tonight's lesson is one that we've kind of talked about when we were in the Corinthian epistle recently. But we're going to go ahead, of course, and say it again, because not only did Paul give it a whole chapter in Corinthians 8, he also gave it a whole another chapter in Romans 14, maybe the longest chapter in Romans. That might be right. And, of course, Jesus in the great sermon, who is hitting all of the high spots of what it looks like to be a kingdom citizen, he spends a lot of time on this too, and so we're going to do it justice tonight. Again, let me set it up by saying what you're learning, what we're learning together from the Lord Jesus is that Jesus is way more interested in my heart than what I'm doing. So he's way more interested in how I give alms than that I give alms. Way more interested in how I fast than that I fast. Way more interested in how I pray than that I pray. And so he's way more interested in what's going on with my heart when I look at another woman rather than whether or not I act that out, for instance. He's way more interested in what's going on in my heart when I'm in a frustrating relationship with someone rather than whether I actually kill them. And so he's probing our hearts. He's talked to us about how we use money. Not that we need to use money, we need to, but is it the thing that's running our life? Is it in charge of my heart? And on, Jesus begins to talk about it, and he just says, like, and how we deal with tomorrow. Are we anxious? Because if we're anxious, there's something going on in our heart. We're not trusting the Lord. We're not believing that he'll take care of us, for instance. And as it was last week. And so, here another thing. Jesus is going to talk about something, and he's going to say something that exposes my heart. And so how I use money exposes my heart, and how I look at people exposes my heart, and how I deal with conflict exposes my heart, and how I fast exposes my heart, and how I pray exposes my heart, and how I take care of, help people exposes my heart. And here's another way that exposes my heart. And so he's going to lead with here's the point, and then he's going to unpack what he means by the heart matter that's behind the point. And so I've decided tonight, just because when Jesus teaches this at another time, the same subject, he adds a little spice to it and a little flavor to it that I thought would be good for us to see together. And so I decided to not only read the Matthew portion out of the Sermon on the Mount, but also the Sermon on the Plain in Luke 6 to read that also, where he teaches the same thing, but he adds some helpful insight by which to that helps us to understand it. So let's just read this together, both of them, and then we'll make some comments about it. Judge not. So that's, maybe I could start with the question, how many of you like to be judged? I mean, you know, just raise your hand. I really like it when I walk in a room and everybody's looking at me and then they start talking. One with another. You know, no, none of us like to be judged. That you be not judged. And what's his point there? I mean, I'll go ahead and just say, In this first section, simple, right? What's my immediate reaction to being judged? Who do you think you are? that you be not judged, right? Those who live in glass castles throw stones, right? This is what Jesus is talking about. There's this boomerang effect. And when I'm being evaluated, I immediately become an evaluator. And, oh, really, you're going to judge me? Well, you ain't so hot yourself. And that's what Jesus is talking about. So, for with the judgment that you pronounce, you'll be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And then he says, why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but don't notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. What's the implication there? You can't see clearly to judge because you've got a log in your eye and you're picking on some little thing about him or her. And then it says, do not give dogs what is holy, and don't throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. In the Luke version of this, it goes like this. Judge not and you won't be judged. Condemn not and you won't be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And here Jesus expands a little bit on this, and he starts with judge not, but then he uses a whole litany of things to say positive or negative. What happens is, so if you're forgiving, people are forgiving, and when you're judging, people are judging, and when you're condemning, people are condemning, and that's what's going on with this whole thing. And then he tells them a parable, and I love this parable, because it's the same point of the log and the splinter. Can a blind man lead a blind man? You've got a log in your eye. You're blind. Who are you to help a guy? And then he says, will they not both fall into the pit? A disciple's not above his teacher. But everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. This is an interesting, like, parenthetical note that he sticks in here with the disciple above the teacher. Because what he's saying here is, he's saying that you don't know nothing yet. As soon as you know something, you'll be able to help folks. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but don't notice the log that's in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck that's in your eye out, when you don't see the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite. Again, like Jesus said in Matthew, first take the log out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I thought that if you've ever read, how many of you have read The Message, or do you know what I'm talking about when I say The Message? The Message is Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the Bible, and it's a bit of a commentary type paraphrase, except he's succinct about it. He's really brilliant. I think that he nails this particular passage and does as well with it. I'll just say this. I can't improve on it. Listen to what he says. So here's how he paraphrases what Jesus said. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. The critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly smear on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this whole traveling roadshow mentality all over again, playing a holier-than-thou part instead of just living your part. Wipe that ugly sneer off your face so that you can be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. That's good, huh? So judge not that ye be not judged. And well, I said at first, you know, we weren't, if I were to ask you very practically why you don't be why you don't like being judged, your answer would simply be this: you don't know nothing, wouldn't it be? Because what happens is you'll see me act out in a certain way, and you'll feel some sort of judgment, like, ugh, he's such a pain in the neck. And you don't know at all what I'm going through. You don't know at all what's happening with me or about me. And so you're not able at all to care for my soul. And so many times what you'll happen is you'll throw what you think is a pearl, get your act together, Caps, to me, and I'll snap and bite your head off because you didn't even come close to hitting the mark at all because you don't know nothing about what's going on inside of me. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2, no one knows what's going on inside a man except the spirit that is in a man. That's it. And so what happens when we're quick to judge and quick to critique each other and quick to criticize each other, we don't have all the information that we need. We don't know what we need to know. The Bible says in Romans 14 and in 1 Corinthians 8, who are you to judge your neighbor? To his own master, and that's not you. He stands or falls. And then he makes this great declaration, and stand he will, for his God will make him stand. And so many times we see people that are on the ropes in their life, and we, you know, pass some snarky judgment on them. And then the other piece, and then what happens is that we don't realize that we're attacking one of Jesus' sheep who's wounded and who's struggling or maybe even stumbling in sin and foolishness, but he has a pursuer of his soul after him, trying to rescue him from the pit. And here we are piling on with our judgment. And so the Lord critiques us for that and says, you don't get to do that. One of the things that I thought it might be helpful to say is that what the Lord is not saying is that we can't pass judgment on something. Meaning this way, like just, he's fixing to say in next teaching, he's fixing to say, if you don't watch out for false teaching, you're going to be in trouble. Where there's a judgment, I have to know what's false teaching, right? Even here, he says, don't give pearls to dogs. So you got to know who the dog is, right? So he's not saying that you can't be observant. What he's saying is that you'd better have your heart right when you start talking about someone. You better lead with understanding, and you better lead with mercy, and you better lead with, I don't really know anything. How can I help? Because one of the things that's easy to do, and of course we find this out in our ministry, tons and tons and tons, but you see it all the time, you know, who we're gossiping about, or we're, you know, I can't believe she did that, or I can't believe he did that, or all of these different things. And we don't know what's going on inside of someone's heart. And by the way, if we did know, it wouldn't justify it if they're sinning. That's not the point. That's righteous judgment there. And God talks about giving righteous judgment, but it definitely gives me compassion, and it lets me give them something that they're not going to bite my head off when I give it to them. Does that make sense? And so what God just says is he just says you don't get to do it. And what's the problem then? The first problem is you don't do nothing. And the second problem is that every single time that we do it, there's an air of self-righteousness about it. Like I'm better than you. And so I can look down my nose at you. And I can judge you. And every time I judge, my judgment is based on my elevation of myself, my elevated judgment of myself. And so the Lord goes, you don't get to do that. You don't get to do that. Philippians 2, consider others better than yourselves. And you remember the publican and the sinner. where the publican and the Pharisee, where the Pharisee said, you know, he was trying to justify himself that he was more righteous. And he had contempt. And he had contempt for this this bad guy, who was a legit bad guy. But this guy was standing over there beating his chest saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you don't know. I see this happen all the time. I mean, and I'm guilty like crazy, by the way. So I'm not saying that I see it happen in other people. I see it happen in Bobby's own heart. And here's what it is. You know, you'll see, like, we watch guys go through rehab. And a lot of times we're wondering whether they're getting it or not, you know. Whether they're going to be able to leave rehab and walk in freedom. And of course, what every single person who leaves rehab is most afraid of is that the other shoe's going to fall. And that maybe they're not strong enough to be able to withstand temptation. And one of the other things that they're most afraid of, and I used to ask this question when people would come back from residential programs. I would say, what's your first feeling when you're coming to the room? And they said, everybody's looking at me waiting for me to fall. Everybody's looking at me waiting for me to fall. Do you hear that sense of judgment and that sense of contempt and that sense of self-righteousness that we look at people who are struggling with? What if everybody was looking at me waiting for me to succeed? What if everybody was coming beside me and building up my most holy faith, recognizing that I'm weak in my faith and I need strength and I need friends, and they're rallying around me and blessing me with their presence and speaking words of encouragement into my life, rather than saying, you know, hey, I saw your eyes were a little red, you know. What's going on? And immediately thinking, of course, that something has gone on. And the person said, well, I just took a shower before I came. Like, people used to always, this is an Australia thing, people always used to think I smoked pot. Because, like, when I take a shower, my eyes really get bloodshot. And I would show up with bloodshot eyes. And it's like, I'm just curious, are you? Yeah, I smoked pot before I preached. It makes sermons a lot better. Here's the point. Can't we suspend judgment and send love first? We don't know what's going on inside of each other's hearts. You've seen the meme, you know. Don't judge a person. You have no clue what they're going through today. I mean, we see the... Oh, man, here's one. Ooh, I just saw this the other day. So guilty as charged. I saw some woman, like, screaming at some dude inside a car. And I'm like, you know, what if she just found out that he cheated on her? I don't know what's going on inside that car. Who am I to judge? And you know what the Lord Jesus does? He doesn't say figure it out. He says don't judge. Go read any commentary on this passage. And one of the first things they'll say is that Jesus kind of breaks it down why you shouldn't. You don't know what you're talking about. You've got a log in your own eye and you're self-righteous and blah, blah, blah. But every single one says, Jesus says declaratively and emphatically, don't do it. So what if we just didn't do it? But as Jesus is so apt to do in this sermon, he shreds our hearts, because it's like, I don't know if there's a single day that I don't do it. I mean, like, there, it's just, you just, like, you know, there's a little side of me that's constantly rising up and making a judgment and, you know, presupposing the what. That's right. What if it were that we were presupposing the best? Oh, by the way, love believes all things. Love hopes, right? What if we were that kind of people? Oh, man, you know what I mean? Oh, wow, you know? You haven't had a shower in 3 days. Wow, I bet you're going through something. Boy, how can I pull up beside? Do you want to tell me? My presupposition should be the best about you, not the worst. I mean, does anybody need to remind each other that we're all sinners? But why don't we just go ahead and say, I'm a sinner. Okay, now that's over with. So why do we have to judge each other all the time? Why aren't we there with our eyes and our encouragement and all this kind of stuff? And what Jesus essentially says in this passage, without elaborating, without going into all this detail, is that your heart is the problem. You can't help anybody until you straighten your own heart out. You won't have a single thing to say. And the thing you do say will get snapped back on your hand because it won't even be close. Judge not. Boy, I wish it were true. I honestly wish we could walk together with each other and just, you know, think the best about each other. Philippians says, the way to do it, you want me to tell you what solves the problem, is to consider others better than yourselves instead of worse. Well, if everybody just believed like me, they'd be fine. And that's not what the Lord says. The Lord says if you want unity and if there's any affection of the Spirit, if there's any unity, if there's going to be any oneness of mind, you actually have to think that other people are better than you, not the other way around. You actually have to look towards their interest as well as your own. So, well, I'll just leave it there. That's enough to chew on. How many of you are guilty of judging? Raise your hand. Yep. How many of you hate it when it's done to you? Well, I'll go ahead and add Jesus' next teaching. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Judge not. Lord, we love you, and we're glad that you're the one who knows our hearts. We're glad that you're the one who sees the inside of us and loves us anyways, knows our brokenness, our rebellion, all the good, the bad, and the ugly. You're the one that knows all the deep things of my heart. And Lord, I pray that we would, because you know us and you're caring for us, that we would see each other in the light of people who are being cared for by Jesus, being loved by him, being strengthened by him, being helped by him, and that we would leave our judgments at the door, because we're yours and you're the only judge that counts. In Jesus' name, amen.